Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So, Haribo, welcome everyone. We will today in evening read text 26 just because there was Govardhan Puja yesterday. The day before, yesterday we read about the glories of Giriraj, but now we have gone back to the place where we stopped earlier. Just yesterday we jumped forward to another day, or the day before yesterday. It's very nice for us, before we hear today's text, to just think a little bit about Raghunath Das Goswami as he would live at Radhakund. Every day he would chant a minimum of 100,000 holy names, 1 lakh, sometimes also 2 lakhs, or 200,000 names. Then he would bow down to the Supreme Personality of Godhead 1,000 times. I really don't know so much what that meant, but I can well imagine it was the Dandavat Parikrama. Let me just ask Ananda Chaitanya, who is very expert in numbers. Could you give an estimation, when we do Radhakund Parikrama, how many times do we bow down? Is it not 1,000?
When we did Govardhan Parikrama, 4 hours would be around 1,500.
Okay. So he would bow down 1,000 times to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and then he would bow down to Vaishnavas a minimum of 2,000 times. This is very difficult to understand. Now, we have heard when we do Dandavat Parikrama for 4 hours, we have 1,500 obeisances. So I think we should stop and pause a little bit. My God, he paid so many obeisances to Krishna, to Giridhari, and to the Vaishnavas. From this you can really understand the tremendous extent of his humility. Just think how humble a person must be in order to bow down to 2,000 times to Vaishnavas. He really, wants to be more humble than the straw in the street, really. Then, so we can understand, for most of the day, he would engage in kirtan and meditation, and each day from 3 to 4 hours, he gave a lecture about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He had seen Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Puri and told of his personal remembrances, but his spiritual master Swarup Damodar Goswami had written an first-hand eye account of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's leelas. Unfortunately, that is lost, but it was something like a diary. That means day by day he would write down what he saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu doing and what he heard him saying or instructing. It is said by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami that later, or let me say like this, that Swarup Damodar Goswami entrusted the jewels and pearls of his own memory of Gauranga Mahaprabhu to the treasure chest, Schatztruhe, of Raghunath Das Goswami's heart. So he would give a lecture 3 hours a day about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Radhakund. And amongst his listeners, there were very, very special souls. And one of them, can you imagine who that was? Was Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. And we can see he has his bhajan kutir nearby. And from what he heard from the mouth of Raghunath Das Goswami, he later compiled and wrote his own book about Gauranga Mahaprabhu, the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. No? That is, he made like notes what Raghunath Das Goswami said. He may have had such a wonderful notebook, you know, more wonderful, it was palm leaves. And he just noted everything down. Raghunath Das Goswami, I should say before I start, started also the kutir system, that is, the little cottages were built. The kutir system has extended now in this Vasundhara cottage, who are quite luxurious. But see, before Raghunath Das Goswami, the renunciants would live under trees. That is what Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami wrote about Sanatan and Rupa Goswami. He said that when a visitor of Vrindavan would come back to Bengal, then they would ask him, the Bengali Vaishnavas would ask him, how is Sanatan and Rupa Goswami faring, and how are they living? And the answer was, they stay each night under a special tree. They would, and I don't know if you know that during the day a tree gives shade, but in the night he somehow has, like a human being, some activities, and he keeps warm around him. It's warm under a tree in the night. Cold outside, it may be very cold. I once saw that in the Krishna Balaram temple. There were some good trees, and around them there was a ring of it was something like rife, you know, like something like snow, but around, just under the tree, there would be warm. So the system of building houses and not staying under trees came about because once Raghunath Das Goswami was just praying and absorbed in singing and crying out for Krishna. And that time a tiger came to the Radha Kund to drink, and Krishna saw my devotee might need my protection, and he came there in some distance and watched if everything went all right and if the tiger would leave Raghunath Das Goswami undisturbed and so on. So at this moment Sanatana Goswami, who lived in Madan Mohan temple, or lived in Vrindavan, had visited Raghunath Goswami, and he stepped out of the forest and saw Raghunath Das Goswami, the tiger nearby, and Krishna standing with a stick ready to intervene in case there should be some trouble from the tiger. Later Sanatana Goswami said, "This is not good, you know." Now another time he came to Radha Kund and he saw something similar. He saw, this time involving Srimati Radharani, he saw Raghunath Das Goswami chanting and crying and doing all his devotional activities in the hot noon sun. And then Srimati Radharani came and spread her anchali, that is the upper part of the zari with which the women cover their heads here in Braj. She spread that like a sun Sonnensegel, we say in German, like something to protect Raghunath Das Goswami from the sun, while herself being exposed to the noon sun and having some sweat drops on her forehead. So these two things, two events, one time Krishna protecting Raghunath Goswami, and the second time Srimati Radharani herself protecting Raghunath Goswami, prompted Sanatan to have a serious talk with Raghunath. He said, this is totally opposed to bhakti. We are meant to serve Radha and Krishna, but instead they serve us. Radharani comes from the spiritual world and she stays for hours in the hot noon sun, and Krishna stays there with his stick. He can't do his cow herding activity. This is against the teachings of bhakti. To make God our servant is not the idea. So we should build you a little kutia, a little cottage, where you will be protected from wild animals and also the sun. And then they built this kutias, small kutias. I would love to know how one of them looked. Maybe it looked like one of these stone huts from Istria, which are round, you know, where stones are piled on each other. But that's maybe a speculation. Maybe they look square. It must have been mud cottages with straw roofs. So this is how it started. Good. So this is a little bit to introduce our author to us, a very humble Vaishnava who would bow down. He gave lectures on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I think it would have been wonderful if we would have been there in one of these lectures of Raghunath Das Goswami. Imagine the ecstasy. What do you think? It must have been very good, no? and then he was so accomplished in his devotional life that Radha and Krishna protected him. So he wrote text 26 like this: Karavasmashramudaram Uchvalakulam Gorang Samanam Spurat Pancha Shattama Vasha Vandita Vaya Krantim Pravinam Braje Goshte Shasya Sakaya Munatatara Shri Damatopi Priya Shri Radham Vrishabhanum Utpatayasho Pratam Sada Tambaje. I always worship King Vrishabhanu, who has a small mustache, who is magnanimous by nature, who is of a noble family dynasty, whose complexion is golden, who is very respectable and aristocratic, who is about 50 years of age, who is a very experienced personality of Braj, and who is a close friend of Sri Nanda. He is more affectionate to his daughter Sri Radha than to his own son Sri Ram. So Rupa Goswami describes Vrishabhanu Maharaj in the same way as Raghunath Das Goswami describes him. They say he has, Rupa Goswami says, he has a bright complexion, as bright as the sun in the constellation called Taurus. It's a special constellation of stars, which attribute to the brightness of the sun shining. So he was a shining personality. And the reason why he was so effulgent is that in his dynasty Banu Nandini appeared, the daughter of the sun, Srimati Radharani herself. Now, in order to that gave the whole dynasty so much glory, and he was so much inspired to have such a daughter. So in order to understand a little bit Maharaj Vrishabhanu, it is very good to understand Radhika, who appeared in his house. Srimati Radharani is the transformation of Krishna's love. She's the embodiment of love. She is Krishna's inner energy, the energy of his heart, called the Khladini Shakti. This Shakti causes Krishna to taste transcendental bliss. You know, when Krishna experiences his own Shakti embodied in Srimati Radharani, and this Shakti also nourishes the devotees in this world. If you want to please Krishna, you need to have a certain energy and that energy is the energy of love, which comes from Radha. I know in the Balkans the Gurubi Osabas say, "I don't like your energy, man. You know, you have a bad energy." At least in Serbia they say this all the time. I don't know if the ordinary Serbians say it. they don't say like, but the devotees say it. I have heard it a lot in Serbia. Now, your energy is disturbing. You know. So, in a way, when we come to Krishna, our energy is a little bit disturbing also. You know, we have the wrong thoughts, we have the wrong desires, we have the wrong, I mean, let us, if you don't like the word wrong, you could say we are conditioned, you know. And it's just not so good. So we need to have the right energy, and that is the energy of love, which we need to obtain from Srimati Radharani. This energy of love is called bhakti, and Srimati Radharani is the one who pleases Krishna, and therefore those who want to please Krishna want to have the energy of bhakti from Srimati Radharani, Krishna's best devotee. That is the idea. So the essence of this Shakti is prema, and the essence of prema is bhava, a certain mood, a certain loving mood. And the high point of bhava, I hope you are not, your heads are still on their head and are not rolling in the dust from so much information, is mahabhava. And the embodiment of mahabhava, Hare Krishna, that is Srimati Radhika. She is the crown jewel of Krishna's lover and full of glorious attributes. Let's make it simple. Krishna is God. He has in his heart the Hladini Shakti, which is one of his energies. The embodiment of that Hladini Shakti is Srimati Radharani. When love takes a form, it's called Radha. And we are as devotees, we need to be in contact with Radha. Therefore we worship her first, so that we can please Krishna, because that energy of love is the only thing which pleases Krishna. You can a little bit understand it. Let us say someone has a musical skill, no? That lies within him. It's an inborn talent. But that talent only becomes pleasurable when this person takes an instrument, say a flute, and blows on the flute, and then that musical energy, which really is his energy, comes back to him and gives him pleasure. Are some of you accustomed to playing instruments? Maybe you were. As children we played flute, no? Normal children play blockflöte in Germany, no? I used to play. I remember I would sit in a garden all by myself and I would play for hours on my little flute and enjoy it very much, what came out of my musical abilities, although it was not good enough for a concert. But, you know, in the same way, Krishna's love is inside of him, but it is coming back to him through the instrument of Radha. And with Radha, this Ladini Shakti, which comes also through the devotees who have gotten this Ladini Shakti. So Krishna doesn't enjoy on his own as much as he enjoys with his devotees, led by the first and foremost devotee of Srimati Radharani. Is that, can you understand this? Good. Good. So, Krishna says about Radharani No one pleases me as much as Radha, and also no one can experience me fully. Radha can experience Krishna fully because of her love. Let us also try to understand this concept. Love is the only way to understand someone's personality. You know, if you don't love a person, he will close and he will not be open to you in all ways. But if someone if there is love, that person all of a sudden becomes understandable by those who love him. Krishna cannot be understood with our brain. Krishna can be understood with our heart, our loving heart. Otherwise, without a loving heart, but with a big brain, we cannot understand Krishna really. So Radharani loves Krishna the most, and therefore Radharani can experience Krishna's form, the way Krishna tastes, the way he smells, the way he is touched, and his sound. Radha has, in other words, loving eyes, Mahabhava eyes, to see his form. Radha has a Mahabhava tongue to taste his sweetness. Radha has a Mahabhava nose to smell his fragrance. Radha has a Mahabhava skin to feel his touch. And Radha has Mahabhava ears to hear his flute sound. God needs to have, in order to be experienced, you need to have a new being, a new body, and new senses, new nose, new eyes. Everything needs to be born out of the ocean of love. That's why we say when we one day return back to Krishna, we will take our birth from the womb of a gopi. And gopis means they love Krishna very, very much. And we will come through this loving personalities into the word of Krishna. We will be born out of love and then be able to interact with Krishna and experience Krishna. Once there was a river. The river wanted to flow to the ocean, but between him and the ocean was a desert. The river for already 500 years was losing all his water when it came into the desert. It just sank into the hot sand and you couldn't see it any longer. So one day the wind came to the river and said, "My dear river, you want to cross the desert, is it?" "Yes," said the river, "I'm trying since 500 years, but it's a desert with a lot of sand and all my water is swallowed by the sand and I'm stopped being a river." "Ah," said the wind. "Where do you want to go?" I want to go into the ocean," said the river. "But the desert is in between." "Do you want to go to the ocean so much that you're ready to make a sacrifice?" said the river, "What sacrifice?" The wind said, "If you want to come to the ocean, you must stop being a river. What do you mean, said the river? Well, I will fly over you as a desert storm, and I will evaporate you. You will become a cloud, and I will carry you as a cloud to the mountain range just next to the ocean. And from there, you will rain down and flow into the ocean. If you want to go into the ocean, you must, if you want it so much, you must be ready to give up being a river. Can you understand this little mystical language? So the river says, that sacrifice is too great. I can't do it. Okay, said the river, I come back after another 500 years and asked you what you think about it. So the river said, let me try on my own. I will somehow take a more force, you know, and I will flush through the desert. And he tried. He tried. After some time, the river came, the wind came back and said, so, you're successful? Oh, no, I'm not successful. Take me, make me into a cloud, and then let me flow into the ocean. I'm tired of trying on my own. So, my dear devotees, this is the whole idea. We must, if we want to go to Krishna, we must be ready to give up our false ego. That's the sacrifice. Do you want to go to Krishna so much, Syamasakhi, that you are ready to give up being Syamasakhi? This is the question. Once there was a devotee who wrote to me a letter. In the letter, there was a symbolic discussion. The caterpillar asked, how can I fly? And the guru answered the caterpillar, you must want to give up being a caterpillar so much, then you can fly. Because he has to become a butterfly. That letter I have kept in my letterbox, so letters which I never will throw away. I will look at the devotee maybe in 50 years if she's ready to give up being a caterpillar, yes or no. But we will see. That is the whole idea of spiritual life, to be able to give up the conditioned nature, give up the false ego, and be ready to become a real persona. That's a very high thing. I think we all feel a desire, but my God, this means to be born ultimately in the womb of a gopi. Whew. That takes still a little heart cleaning, I think, until we are ready. But see, only then Krishna can be experienced with the spiritual body. Krishna is too big to be put in one religion or two religions or three religions. He's very big. He's also too big to be put in one concept, in one head, you know, in our own head. He's very big. So Radha has this ability because she has the full amount of love for Krishna. So therefore I'm asking you, my dear devotees, can you imagine there's a father to this Radharani Can there be any limit to the Father in whose dynasty such a Radha has appeared? Rishabhanu Maharaj is therefore so glorious because his daughter is the only one who can relish the full sweetness of Krishna. He has a daughter, Rishabhanu has a daughter, who enters the heart of all devotees and nourishes them by giving them bhakti. She gives Krishna pleasure as Hladini Shakti internally and makes him relish innumerable pastimes in her personal form. She is a mine of good qualities. Therefore, in some ways, some say Vrishabhanu Maharaj is even more glorious than Nanda Maharaj. Oh, Hare Krishna. Nanda Maharaj has attained Krishna, but only when one has prema can one relish Krishna. So that prema, personification of prema, Mahabhava, Svarupini Radharani, oh, that is I'm so happy that I lost my sentence. I cannot speak it till the end because I've forgotten how it started, the sentence. But with prema you can experience Krishna. Of course, in one way, you know, this is only our human perspective. Who can say Nanda is less than Rishabhanu? I mean, our comparisons stop on this level, you know. We can't bring our small measuring sticks into the spiritual world and try to see who's greater of you, you know. That doesn't work. This Maharaj Rishabhanu has so much love for Radha that it is said he loves her more than Sridham. And there's a very nice leela told in the Patala Kanda of the Padma Purana where this becomes clear. This part the Padma Purana narrates how once the great devotee incarnation, the incarnation of Bhakti Shakti, you know, Narad Muni visited Maharaj Vrishabhanu's house. He had heard that a child was born, a daughter was born to Maharaj Vrishabhanu, and of course he knew who the daughter was, and he wanted now to see the little Radha. So when he came to the door, Vrishabhanu was elated. He said, "Oh Prabhu, I have a daughter who looks more effulgent than all the demigoddesses. She is younger than this one." And he pointed at Sridham Saka. Sridham is the older brother, but she's younger. However, Vrishabhanu cried, "She can't hear anything, she's dumb." No, she dumb means she can't speak. She's deaf, she can't hear anything, and she is blind. "Oh, greatest of saints, I'm a very ordinary grihastha. I want to hold this child in my arms and fondle her. And I want to rear her, and I want that everything goes well for her in her life. Today I pray to you for this boon. Please be satisfied with my little daughter and look with your auspicious glance on her, and that will make her all right." So Narada said, "Can I see your daughter? But I have to see her alone. No one can be in the room when I look at her. Vrishabhanu Maharaj immediately arranged everything and went quickly to the room, arranged the little bed. The little girl was just fully vision. It looked so beautiful, but her eyes were closed and her ears were closed and her mouth was closed. He just whispered in her ears, "Everything will be good. Narada Muni is here." Then he tiptoed out of the room. He was a king and was a luxurious room, and Narada Muni was just having goose pimples of ecstasy as he stood before the room. And then he somehow, with great power, with great Willenskraft, how do you say, the power of will, he moved one foot before the other foot, and he went with his veena into the room and saw in the bed little Radharani. Oof. That's the sweetest darshan he ever had. And as he looked at Radharani, listen to this, Radharani transformed as a fully grown up Radharani with a blue zari and a little, and the dancing mudras, ankle belts on her lotus feet, and so on, and said, "Ah, I'm happy that you have come and gave her the full darshan." This picture of Radharani can be purchased on the market in Vashon. You know, they have this. I think maybe it was here. I also think it's one of them. Could you look? I remember made. Yeah. That is a very famous picture, and devotees have tried to paint this picture since time immemorial, so that Radharani is glorified with this picture, especially in Vasa. Oh, yeah, genau. Maybe you can come there where Ananda Chaitanya is, so everyone can see. Wow! You see, this is the form which Radharani, thank you so much, which Radharani revealed to Narada Muni. At least this is an artistic attempt to show her beauty. You see, not as a little child, but as the Radharani who is accompanying Sri Krishna. And Narada had very confidential talks and prayed wonderful prayers to her, and of course knew the secret of why she was deaf, dumb and blind. Now, he stayed for a few hours with Radharani and did not know how time was passing, and afterwards he calmed down and called Maharaj Vrishabhanu, come, and he said, with words which are full of reference but also sweetness, "O King, your daughter has chosen to remain blind on her own. Not even the powerful Ashwini Kumaras, the doctors of the demigods, can cure her right now, because she wants it like this." she wants to be like this. But in due course of time, a little boy will come by here. He will be black. He is the son of Nanda Maharaj in Yashoda. And when he sees your little girl, the little girl will open her eyes, her ears, and her mouth. You must know one thing about your daughter. In whatever house this girl places her feet, there Lord Narayan and the Goddess of Fortune come. All the mystic perfections forever reside with this girl. For now, carefully keep her in your house. In a short time, that son of Nanda Maharaj, who is now also very much a baby, very small, he will be 1 year old. And you should invite Nanda Maharaj with his son on his first birthday. And then, as soon as your son will be with that in the house, everything will change. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes in Krishna Bhavanamrita how Vishabhanu Maharaj and Kirtita made huge preparations for Krishna's first birthday. When the time arrived, they invited Krishna, and he came with from Nandagram with all his people to Vashana, there was a big festival, and during this festival everyone was busy talking about so many things, the cows and how to best keep them and so on. Then Krishna crawled away from everyone and crawled into the room of Radharani, and there was this little cradle, and he just took his little hands and pulled himself up the water, or whatever it was made from, this, and looked at Radha, and at that moment Radha's eyes fluttered and she opened her eyes. Little girl, there was eye to eye union, and she made happy sounds, and everything was alright. So although Narada Muni had spoken very reverentially about Radha, Vishabhanu Maharaj just loved his daughter so much, he wouldn't hear anything of her being like the goddess Lakshmi. But what everyone noticed, the moment Radha was born, everything turned auspicious. There was wealth in Nanda's house, so much that he could give so much donations to the Brahmanas, to everyone. The goddess, she is the goddess of fortune, Radha, who walks all over the land of Braj, and makes a person fortunate who surrenders, wants to surrender to Krishna. We as devotees will always remain greatly indebted to Maharaj Vrishabhanu. Radharani has come to bless the whole world with prema bhakti, or the possibility, and to make sure that we would understand, he came again. Now she came in a combined form, Radha and Krishna together, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yeah, don't forget. And in that Gauranga Leela, Maharaj Vrishabhanu also appeared. Who knows his name at Gauranga Leela? Pundarika Vidya, he did. Yes, he is the Vrishabhanu Maharaj, and when Lord Chaitanya was in Puri, one night he just called out very loud, "My father has come," and everyone thought Jagannath Mishra has come, but Jagannath Mishra had left the body in Navadvipa. But again he called out, "Father, Father, oh Pundarika, Pundarika, oh lotus-eyed one." No one knew who that was. And the next morning Pundarika Vidyanidhi came. Yes, he was very wonderful, and he was then recognized by Gauranga Mahaprabhu with great love and affection, and was worshipped deeply. He became the spiritual master of a very important personality, Gadadhar Pandit, who's Radharani. So the father is usually one of the gurus, unless he is a Western father, and he needs to learn still a lot. but Gadadhar Pandit, who is Radharani Gaura Leela, immediately became connected very closely with Pundarika Vidyanidhi Maharaj Vrishabhanu. Yeah. These are all secrets. They are all revealed in this book. Would you like to hear the text again? Mm-hmm. To just know. Now let us see. We have explained everything. "I always worship King Vrishabhanu, who has a small mustache, who is magnanimous by nature, who is of a noble dynasty, whose complexion is gold, who's very respectable, who's about 50 years of age, who is a very experienced personality of Braj, and who is a close friend of Srinanda." Yeah, very close. They're very close, the two families. "He's more affectionate to his daughter Sri Radha than he is to his own son, Sridhar." Krishna. Sri Raghunath Das Goswami ki jai. Sri Maharaj Vrishabhanu ki jai. Sri Kirtita Devi ki jai. That's actually the next text. It's about Kirtita, the mother of Radha. Srimati Radha Rani ki jai. Sri Giri Govardhan ki jai. Sri Radha Kund Shyama Kund ki jai. Sri Damodar Vrata ki jai. Gaur Premanandi Hari 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 Bo. Hare Krishna.